the beer isn't too bad, and you can get quite a good piece of fried fish of an evening, with maybe a couple of big green gherkins, and even an eel pie and a dish of whelks, and there's always a warm stable somewhere to sleep in. And in the morning you're always in the same place as you were the night before, and there wasn't all this weather all over the place. I mean, I don't mind about the magic. I'm probably not, you know, the right sort of material for a wizard, but I just want to go home.
But you must.
One of the spells began, but it was too late. Homesickness, the little elastic band in the subconscious that can wind up a salmon and propel it 3,000 miles through strange seas, or send a million lemmings running joyfully back to an ancestral homeland which, owing to a slight kink in the continental drift, isn't there anymore. Homesickness rose up inside Rincewind like a late-night prawn biryani, flowed along the tenuous thread linking his tortured soul to his body, dug its heels in, and tugged. The spells were alone inside their octavo, alone at any rate apart from the luggage. They looked at it, not with eyes, but with consciousness as old as the Discworld itself.
"And you can bugger off too," they said.
"Bad." Rincewind knew it was himself speaking. He recognised the voice. For a moment he was looking out through his eyes, not in any normal way, but as a spy might peer through the cut-out eyes of a picture. Then he was back.
"You okay, Rincewind?"
said Cohen.
"You looked a bit gone there."
"You did look a bit white," agreed Bethan, "like someone had walked over your grave."
Yes, it was probably me," he said. He held up his fingers and counted them. There appeared to be the normal amount. "Have I moved at all?" he said.
"You just looked at the fires as if you'd seen a ghost," said Bethan.
There was a groan behind them. Twoflower was sitting up holding his head in his hands. His eyes focused on them. His lips moved soundlessly.
"That was a really strange dream," he said. "What's this place?
Why am I here?" "Well," said Cohen, "some say the creator of the universe took a handful of clay and..."
"No, I mean here," said Twoflower. "Is that you, Rincewind?"
"Yes," said Rincewind, giving it the benefit of the doubt.
"There was this... a clock that... And these people who..."
said Twoflower. He shook his head.
"Why does everything smell of horses?"
"You've been ill," said Rincewind, "hallucinating."
"Yes, I suppose I was."
Twoflower looked down at his chest.
"But in that case, why have I..."
Rincewind jumped to his feet. "Sorry, very close in here. Got to have a breath of fresh air," he said. He removed the picture box's strap from Twoflower's neck and dashed for the tent flap.
"I didn't notice that when he came in," said Bethan.
Cohen shrugged. Rincewind managed to get a few yards from the yurt before the ratchet of the picture box began to click. Very slowly, the box extruded the last picture that the imp had taken. Rincewind snatched it. What it showed would have been quite horrible even in broad daylight. By freezing starlight, tinted red with the fires of the evil new star, it was a lot worse. "No," said Rincewind softly. "No, it wasn't like that. There was a house, and this girl, and..."
"You see what you see, and I paint what I see,"
said the imp from its hatch.
"What I see is real. I was bred for it. I only see what's really there."
A dark shape crunched over the snow crust towards Rincewind. It was the luggage. Rincewind, who normally hated and distrusted it, suddenly felt it was the most refreshingly normal thing he had ever seen.
"I see you made it, then," said Rincewind.
The luggage rattled its lid.
"Okay, but what did you see?" said Rincewind. "Did you look behind?"
The luggage said nothing. For a moment they were silent, like two warriors who have fled the field of carnage and have paused for a return of breath and sanity. Then Rincewind said, "Come on, there's a fire inside." He reached out to pat the luggage's lid. It snapped irritably at him, nearly catching his fingers. Life was back to normal again. The next day dawned bright and clear and cold. The sky became a blue dome stuck on the white sheet of the world, and the whole effect would have been as fresh and clean as a toothpaste advert if it wasn't for the pink dot on the horizon.